we're going to be continuing. We're going to be wrapping up the series on evangelism in just a couple of more weeks, and then we have a lot of other things that we're going to be going over. And as we have asked each week, if anybody has a personal word of testimony that they would like to mention now would be a good time. So if you have a chance to talk to somebody this week about the Lord, and have something. Yes, let's go ahead. Come on up if you would. We did. For those listening on Palta, our technical director he left the faith last week, so we didn't have, no, he actually was up in a different area, but we didn't have the capability to record everything last week, so.
Well, I received a tape from an in-law that was excited because we've been talking to them about the mystery quite a bit, and they said that their pastor had preached on the mystery on Easter Sunday, what's commonly called Easter Sunday. And I received the tape from our in-law, and I listened to it, and it was interesting, the gist that I heard. It was another twist on things that you'll hear that are sort of on the edge, but will be missing the major points that we make. And as I listened, he was going through 1 Corinthians 5, first chapter and second chapter, where it does talk about the mystery and how that's been hidden, and he really did a nice job of explaining how the mystery had been hidden since before creation began. And then he made a leap in logic that really is, I think, misses so much and can open even more areas of confusion regarding what we commonly call the mystery. And he said, the mystery is that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. I want you to think about what that entails. I just thought there's so many things that can lead you down the wrong path. It's like saying the introduction to a book is the whole book. And it's really missing the point. That's just the tip of the iceberg. I thought that doesn't really explain that Paul's ministry is a distinctive ministry. The gospel is not the mystery. The mystery, the gospel is the very tip of the mystery, but you have to go from there. So I thought that was interesting that he got a gospel message across, but then equating it with the mystery just makes it another part of your Bible, not really a distinctive message that we preach. So I thought that was kind of an interesting twist. And I think it's becoming more popular because I'm hearing it from other people that are in this various denominations, so I'm not sure how that is going to pan out in the long run, but it opened the door to talk about the mystery some more. So,
the mystery is that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. What's wrong with that? Yeah, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ was no mystery. So that's very good. It gave you an open door to talk with them about some things. Okay, good. Any other? Anybody? Go ahead, Tyler. Come on up.
Close. Don't let me walk off with it. I'll just hold it like this. I went to the skate park with a neighbor of mine who is involved with the Saddleback Church small groups and stuff, and I guess there's millions of those, and it's all about what you can cater at your house, and they try to get some studies going or something, and they'll have things to study about. But what we got to talk about on the way to the skate park, he's about 38 years old, has two kids, one's 16, and really good guy. And we started talking about grace, and I can't remember what tipped it off. We didn't have our Bibles. We were just in the car, and all I had was the verses in my head and stuff. And I started just to compare about, you know, John the Baptist really having everybody repent. The kingdom's here. The kingdom's here. He was familiar with Acts chapter 2 and how the Holy Ghost rushed in like a mighty wind, and they were speaking in tongues. And I told him, and I go, remember Peter said, this is that which Joel prophesied. I go, if you go read Joel, it's word for word. It's there. And I go, and then I asked him, and he's a saved guy. He believes, he understands that they must have just recently done a study on grace, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And, but he's still, oh, I remember what tipped it off. We were driving by Schuler's place where we have our conference, and the Benny Hinn group meets there on Sunday nights. And I go, oh, yeah, the Benny Hinn group meets in there on Sunday. He goes, oh, yeah. And he was familiar with that type of healing ministry stuff. And he's like, yeah. He goes, that stuff, you know, he had some sort of comment about it. And basically, I just went into a little bit of right division because he brought grace up, and he was totally clear on that. And I told him, okay, for 2007 years, where's that kingdom? And he goes, I go, a lot of the problem with Christianity today is they think that the kingdom, we're in the spiritual kingdom now. And I go, and I told him, I go, the kingdom is explicitly detailed. Like, in very, very, you can go read about it, you know what it's going to look like and everything. And I asked him, I go, does this look like, I mean, creation's beautiful, but is this the kingdom? And he totally understood. He goes, my grandpa, he goes, he believed that too. You know, harvesting and the and saints into the kingdom and all that. So I got to kind of connect the dots for him, and then went to Romans 16:25, and you know, and kept secret since before the foundations of the world. And we got out of the car, and it was a pretty quick 20-minute from start to finish. And boy, I talked fast. I was talking faster than this, but he was just listening and blah 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 blah. And he got out, and we were putting our pads on to go skate the pool. And he goes, "That's so cool that you're so studied up on that stuff." And I go, "Yeah." Not really. I mean, it's cool, and I'm glad I know what I know, but I don't know nearly enough that I should. But to somebody that doesn't get a real clear message of what God's plan is for today, that was this overwhelming amount of information. Yeah, like it seemed like I really knew what I was talking about, and pertaining to that, I did. But boy, there's probably 50 verses John would have been involved with, or whatever, and I could learn to grow there, and that's why we're here.
Things about what Tyler said. One, very important, is he said that even though he didn't have his Bible with him, where was the Word of God? It was in him. That's so important. You get that scripture in you. And a lot of people know a lot of things about the Bible, but they don't know how to put it together. And that's what you're doing. That's the whole concept of that, like, division chart. You're, there you go. Awesome. And they're your neighbors, right? Yes. Very good. Excellent. Very good.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. 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 Good. Anybody else? Anybody else? We had a get-together last night at Christy's parents' house, and Nathan completed all his appraisers' courses. And give him a hand there, by the way. Yeah. And so we had a Bible study there, and maybe Christy and Nathan want to come up and just give a testimony how y'all think that went last night.
It was a surprise party, so I was completely surprised, and I didn't know that was coming. I didn't know we were going to be part of the Bible study, but that was a pleasant surprise. And Ken and Dan came down, Barry and his family, and Pastor John, and Lori, and Stephen, and Christy's parents, and Christy and myself were there. And just had a great time. We had a Bible study in the book of Colossians. And went all over the place. And her parents go to a denominational church down there. It's kind of a Calvinistic church. And so it was really good for them to hear the message and hear a lot of verses. And I think they enjoyed it too.
Sure. Oh my gosh, it was so cool. I'll hold it really close. Is that good? Can they hear me, Dan? It was so much went on. My dad, we've been in groups of people. Nathan said to me on the way here, "I don't think I've ever seen your dad speak so much in a group of people." And that was just like, that was really cool. It tells us a lot about just where the Bible is effectually working in us, you know, in how it just made him feel really comfortable. And I was stoked about that. And the whole time I was talking to Sil later, he had a little grin on his face. And the last time I saw my dad with that grin is when the first time Nathan started to share some of this with him before we even came here. He had a little grin on his face just to see how much it meant to him and see the drive. And it just made him happy, you know. And that was like a huge goal for me, because I know that they've struggled with us leaving their church and coming here. And my mom, she's said to me over and over how many times she's read the Bible and how much she knows. And when we sat there, I was just like, "Oh my, here it goes." It was so cool, because like she was just like, "Whoa." I could tell she was really... She was highlighting. She definitely believes the Word of God is God's Word. And... Oh, yes. Well, and Calvinists, they believe that we are Israel. And how he was talking also about what, you know, Satan can't take away the cross. It happened. But the only goal he has now is to keep us from knowing our position, to keep us from being edified, so that when we are in heaven, we can do our job. Because he's taken over the heavens and the earth. And how he talked about, now we say we want to be saved, we want to go to heaven. But back then, if they went around, they would have said, "You want to be ready for the kingdom. It's going to be here on the earth." But you don't think about that now. It's totally different. And it was just like, Yeah, it was so cool. It was awesome. Thank you guys all so much for coming. It was awesome.
Her mom, of course, plays the piano and everything, and we sang some hymns there. It was just great. And we really had a great time of fellowship. And I think if nothing else, what her parents are seeing is the enthusiasm that we have when it comes to the Scripture. I got to tell you, we were sitting around the table, we were studying through Colossians, and I didn't really even need to be there. I mean, Barry and Nathan, all the guys, I mean, they were, yeah, Pastor John, now go to this verse, John. Hey, and now how about that verse? And how about this one? And I mean, it was like that. But I mean, in a good way. Just, you know, the Word of God, just you could just see it coming out of everybody. And it's exciting. And you're excited for the right reason and with something that's worth being excited about. And you got it. I mean, your parents saw that enthusiasm and that excitement over Scripture, over the Lord Jesus Christ, over His Word. And that was just, I was telling Laura on the way home, I said, hey, that's kind of cool. Everybody's, got all these preachers coming up here, you know? So. Yes. Yes. I was concerned. I was concerned about going into another man's home where he may not have been sympathetic to the message. And then, of course, you had cleared it. I found it afterwards you had cleared ahead of time. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so it just turned out well. So you continue to pray for the two of them. It's, you know, you never know where doors will continue to be open, but that was an open door. And a lot of times the best way to open a door is just set a meeting up, okay? Okay, very good. Any other testimonies at all this morning? All right. Let's move on then. We have spent a number of weeks talking about, of course, the issues of the gospel. When you are talking to a lost guy, what's the first and most important thing to convey to that lost person? That he is lost. Okay? Look over to 2 Corinthians 4. We're going to begin to wrap this series up today and really over the next couple of weeks. But look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, and look at verse 3, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, it says this, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what?" So what do you know then? That there are lost people there. And that all of us, before we trusted Christ, we were in that category right there. So the first and most important thing to seek to convey to that person, if they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, is that they need to know the Lord Jesus Christ and why. And we, of course, just do that simply enough under the category that man has a problem, right? And what's his problem? Yeah, not simply sin, but the consequences of sin, death. Okay, and then what number two now is what? God's solution. Okay, what is God's solution? Okay, the blood of Christ alone. The blood of Christ only, right? That is so key right there. And then number three, now what do we do? Okay, so man has a choice. Okay. And no choice is what? Is a choice, all right? Okay, so real quickly now, we're out shopping. We're a grocery store, whatever. We get to talking. And maybe you and I are acquaintances. We're not really close friends. We're acquaintances. We're neighbors, whatever. And we begin to talk about Christianity, about the state of the world, whatever. And you ask me, hey, can you talk to me about the Lord? And I say, well, sure, go ahead. Okay, give me a verse. What are you going to use?
1 Corinthians 15:1-4.
Okay. What does it say? Okay, what does that say? Okay, I'm putting you on the spot, everybody. Come on now. What do we have? Okay, 6:23. Okay. Okay, good. You got 3:10 through 23. Okay, good. Now, what would you want to convey to me about these? And therefore? Okay, good. All right. Okay, so I say, well, I never thought of myself that way before. What do you mean I'm lost and need a Savior? Well, what do I do now? Well, give it to me. Come on, what do you do now? Barry, you and I are at the grocery store and we're talking. Barry, now, okay, now, Barry, what are you saying now? What do I do now?
You just have to simply trust that Christ died and was buried and rose again and his blood washed away all your sins. You don't have to say a prayer. You don't have to accept him. You just have to simply believe in your mind.
Does it say that in the Bible? Yeah. Where does it say that in the Bible?
1 Corinthians chapter 1.
Okay, so go there. Okay. 15, 3 through 4. Good. Okay, all right. What would be another one to explain to me?
Romans 3:25.
Okay. What does that say?
When God has set forth the propitiation through faith in
Christ. Whoa. Propitiation, Barry. I'm not familiar with that word. Now, is that kind of a theological word? What is that, Barry?
He was sent for us in place of us. Propitiation means that he was sent for us because
okay. So what do I do now?
Just trust in his blood.
Okay. Okay, so now you're at this... What's that? Okay, so you've got Romans 5, verse 1 to 2, right? Okay, so now you're transitioning from here to here. Okay, so now what am I supposed to do? Where does it say that? Okay, right, there would be a good one. Okay. 2, 8 through 9. What's Romans 4, 5 saying? And that's what you're saying, right?
Yep.
At this point, you want to emphasize just trust it. Believe, right? Okay? Now, sometimes that's as much time as you're going to get, right? Just right, or less. Yeah, or not. Right?
You know,
yeah. But sometimes that's all that you're going to get. Because, you know, everybody in the back of the line at the grocery store is saying, come on, we're waiting. And the checker's saying, come on, move up, you know. Sometimes you're going to get all of 3 minutes. Sometimes you'll get 20 minutes. You've got 20 minutes with the guy, whatever. You see? You just never know.
Yeah,
that's a good way to do it, right?
So, you know, when you start off, it's amazing, John, how you did it. Because when you start off, I always thought, when I was taught to start off with, we'll try to dive together. Unless you want to explain the problem before it comes.
Yeah. Why is it relevant?
Yeah, because yes. You get excited to say that, but yeah. You shouldn't talk about it again until you see
yeah,
the problem.
Yeah. And what you could do is, I mean, you could tell them this. Say, listen, here's the problem and the solution, and we'll talk about it. Just say it that way.
Yeah.
Is Christ died for your sins? See that? And then work backwards. So here's the problem. Your sins. Those sins have already bought you death. Wages of sin is death. And you're 6:23 now. Romans 3. All of sin comes short. Okay? That's your problem. That's man's problem. And you're part of humanity. Now God has a solution. Christ. That's God's provision. And how is that a solution? Christ died. Well, why is that a solution? What word have I not highlighted there? For. There's the connector. For. There's the in the place of in the stead of. So it's definitely good to mention that and then work backwards.
Okay.
Yeah, that's really good. Because sometimes if you get all of 40 seconds, at least get in there. Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Okay? And you can work that. Okay? Well, you got to mention the consequences because there's no why do I need Christ?
Yeah.
I have my. Yeah. Yeah. And that is a good question. Well, what do you think happens after you die? It's a very good question to ask. Okay. So in your mind, you now know. The three areas you want to cover, and you want to have at least a couple of verses on each. Is everybody prepared? Do you have that? Okay, so now what we're going to do is this. We want to spend a few minutes on how to actually get the conversation started and then how to close the conversation. Because you all want to be closers, right? There's the sales guy, yeah. And not a very good one at that, okay?
But,
yeah, here we go. There we go. There you go. That's good. Okay. So to conversation starters, that's what we're going to talk about now. For a lot of people, this is the hardest part, right? I mean, you know what verses to use. You know, you got to take them from where they're at to the cross. That's all you got to do. If you remember that, find out wherever they're at and get them to Calvary, because Calvary's the answer. Okay. So for a lot of people, the hardest part is the icebreaker, in a sense, as they say, is how do you start the conversation? Well, let's come up with ideas. Okay. So conversation starters. Tyler, give me one that worked.
Making
a phone call. Yeah. She really was, by the way, okay? But anyway. But no. Listen. You know what? Just talking about your faith. Yeah. Okay, talking about your faith. What's another conversation starter? Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It is. Yeah. It's a pretty neat series, yeah. That's good. That's right. You know what he's talking about, right?
The Bible.
That's a great question. Yeah. That's very good. So that would be under the category of ask or asking a question. Good. Tyler, you had what? Josh McDowell, evidence that demands a verdict. Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. Yes. They all became believers, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely correct. Yeah. And it, by the way, it is a big, thick book and everything, but it's still readable. Yeah. More than the carpenter. Yeah. 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 That's good. Okay. So that was really kind of under the category of current events. Easter. We just had Easter a few weeks ago in the religious world. So you can talk about, hey, does your church do anything for Easter? That's such a simple question. How do you go to church? Yeah. That's a great. So current events. What did you say? Do you have fellowship anywhere? Good. Berta, you had a comment or a question?
A lot of people ask me, what kind of church did you find that you drive all the way down?
Whoa, that's a big one right there. Yes, people will ask you, what are you driving that far to church? You can go to the church right next door. What's the big deal? Okay. Brea from Rancho Cucamonga. Yes. Yeah. Good. Exactly. Current events could be anything from religious days, so holy days. It could be the war. It could be terrorists. I mean, you know, anything like that. There's all kinds of current events. Are people willing to talk about current events? Oh, everybody's got an opinion. And frankly, with the way that the things are going in the world, a lot of people are scared. They are. They are just scared about international scenes, the colleges, the high schools. I mean, how many high schools just this week were shut down, at least temporarily? It's amazing because of the copycat situation. Go ahead. Yeah. That is so great. Good, good. Okay, what else? Yes.
Yes.
Death is a big one. Yeah, just if you have a friend that passed away, you knew the Santees, right, from homeschooling? Their son was killed, I guess, a week ago today over in Iraq. He had been there 2 months. And he was a Marine. Yeah. Isn't that something? They're going to have the service for him. I think tomorrow at 1:30 up in Newport Beach, we'll go to that. But death is a big one when death occurs, okay? Somebody else, go ahead, Rich. There's an open door for you right there. Yeah. When the two, who were the two coaches that took the Super Bowl teams? Tony Dungy and Lovie Smith. Yeah. Both of them on national radio actually gave a fairly decent testimony. Wasn't that pretty cool? All the glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. We serve God. Things like that. That was pretty neat. Man, there's an open door. You got sports fans that profess to be atheists and so forth. Yeah, I know. Cut that. Yeah. So current events are always good. Okay, so now, what are you seeing here? You're seeing opportunity. There's lots of ways to talk to people. Now, so really when it comes to the idea of opening the conversation, be creative. Use what's there. So when the doors open, now what do you do to actually lead them to the idea of the gospel? There you go. Ask questions. And that's just remember this great big cue. Question. Ask a question. Oscar Woodall, he's of course with the Lord now, and Oscar was a true evangelist. This guy was amazing, and he was an evangelist in the Grace Message. Some of you knew Oscar. We actually had him out here maybe 15 years ago. We at our neighborhood, we went and passed out a tract to every single door in our neighborhood there. And then I think it was like on a Friday night, we actually had a meeting where we invited everybody to that. We didn't have hardly anybody. I think two people showed up. But hey, so what? You know, it doesn't matter. And we went out door to door, knocking every door, passed out tracts and everything. And Oscar is just a master at that. He's the one that said that evangelism isn't taught, it's caught. It's contagious. And don't you find that, right? You all get excited about sharing the gospel, right? Anyway, Oscar was a master at asking the question. And he would always say that when it comes to the gospel, you're dealing with such a personal issue that it warrants asking their permission to share the gospel. And he would always do that. He would ask permission to actually talk to them about the Lord. So let's say that you were talking about the Easter celebration. Let's say you were talking about the war in Iraq. Or let's say you were talking about whatever. The number 7. Hey, yeah, how did you know that was God's number and so forth? Well, because it's in the Bible. You read the Bible, yeah, a little bit and everything. Well, great. Hey, you know what? Do you study Scripture much? Do you know the Lord? Oh, you know, I'm going to go to church, whatever. Well, then ask them permission. Say, if I could show you on the authority of Scripture how you could know for sure that all of your sins are forgiven, would you be interested in seeing that? And then let them answer. Right? Yes. Yes. Do you see whether or not you have an open door? If they say, no, not really. They're already qualified. That's a good point. Yeah. There you go. If they say, well, no, not really, what do you do? Okay. So what are you doing tomorrow, buddy? Oh, we're going to go to work. Okay, great. Yeah, I got to go to work too. Conversation's done. They just told you they're not interested. And that was a choice they made. Isn't that interesting? A lot of people at that point, a lot of Christians will get very defensive or upset if they say no. You asked them a question. They told you. They gave you an honest answer. Yeah, be okay with it. You got to respect it. Yeah, that's why Oscar always would say, ask permission. Now, what's another reason to ask permission? What if they give you permission? What if they give you permission? Then it's an open door. Yes. Yes. They're not going to listen to you anyway, right? Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. 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 So what happens if they give you permission? You go through the gospel, and you're at point number one here. So they gave you permission. You said, well, If I could show you on the basis of the Scripture, not my opinion or my church or my preacher, but on the basis of Scripture, how you could know you have all of your sins forgiven, once and for all. And that's big, by the way. Once and for all. I mean, I know in the religious system I was raised in, I understood the concept of weekly forgiveness, and not much of that. But to tell me I could have all of my sins forgiven once and for all, well, yeah, okay, I might be interested in this product, you know. What's it going to cost me, you know? So when a guy says yes, okay, so you're at point number one. What's point number one? Man's problem. What are you going over here at number one? Point number one. Man's problem. What uncomfortable thing are you dealing with here? Sin, death, and hell. That's uncomfortable for you and that person, right? It's uncomfortable. You're reading the Scripture, and you're nervous, and that person's nervous. So he gave you permission. He or she gave you permission. So when they start fighting with you here, what do you say? Very calmly, you say, you know, now you said it would be okay if I showed you this. I know this is uncomfortable, but I need to cover this. I need to show you this. You gave me permission, right? Are you still okay with this? Yeah, all right. See why you asked permission? Because if the guy gave you know, it's going to be uncomfortable for you and that person. And when that person gives you, you say, well, yeah, I'd be interested in seeing that. So when you get to this part and they begin to fight you on it, you say, I know this is uncomfortable, but it's important that you see scripturally why you have to start here. Then you can go to, see what's going on there? So you ask permission. And a good question is, if I could show you on the authority of Scripture, not my church, not my preacher, not my religion, but on the authority of the Bible alone, how you could have all your sins forgiven, would you be interested in seeing that? So, something like that. Because by saying, not my church, not my preacher, not my religion, they're not really so much interested in your preacher anyway, or your church or religion. Yeah. That's all I do. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing. So you take it away from that. That way you know that you've at least brought up the idea that you're not trying to get them to come and join your church and give money to your church type thing. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Nothing to do with this at all. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Meaning what? Yeah. Well, they're actually paying anyway. Yeah. But you know, your point is well made that when they say, well, no, I'm not interested in your product or whatever. So, and isn't it wonderful? Because you're not selling anything. You're really sharing. A guy named maybe Paul Little, he wrote a book called How to Give Away Your Faith. How to Give Away Your Faith. And you don't misunderstand the title. It was a book on evangelism. How the things that we've come to understand from Scripture, you're so excited about them. You genuinely have a desire for somebody else to come and understand these things. And it's not at all a concept of, well, you're better than they are, or we're better than them at all. You have a genuine desire for that person that needs Christ. Okay? So ask a question. Ask a question. So there's lots of ways to get the door open. And in the course of that conversation, you could even say, hey, by the way, you know, over at our Bible church, we've been talking a lot about evangelism and how a person can know they have all their sins forgiven. My preacher is going to put me on the spot next Sunday and ask me, can I test this on you? Be creative, right? You know, something like that. And tell them, oh, by the way, when you come to our church, I'll promise my preacher won't put you on the spot. So, you know. But, that's a great idea. Can we just role play this? Whatever. You know, we'll role play what? Well, you know, about how to have all your sins forgiven. I have no idea what you're talking about, but go ahead for it, you know. Whatever. So ask permission.
Well, if they say they're a Christian, that's the line where you can just assume that I'm a Christian.
Yes.
I skip by the salvation.
That's so good. Yes. If somebody says they go to a quote unquote Christian church,
yes,
don't automatically assume that they're a believer. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. In today's definitions, yeah. And which What's that? That's correct. Yeah. Yeah. Well, so do Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, which is interesting. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. How did you get saved?
Yeah. How did you get saved? How did you come to know the Lord?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think golf is all right. And then you can explain it. Where's that?
Yeah. 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 Remember, find out wherever they're at and take them where?
Cross.
To the cross. They got to get to the cross and they got to stay at the cross. And that's true for us, right? We've got to stay at the cross, okay? Okay, so now we've got the opening part. You ask a question. Talk to them about current events. Maybe a family member that passed away or somebody's in the hospital and they're sick and so forth. Ask permission. Say, you know, we're learning some just wonderful things at our church, or whatever. I've been reading my Bible. I'm learning some things that just have really changed my life. I've learned that all my sins were forgiven. Would it be okay with you if I showed you how you could have all of your sins forgiven once and for all, and do it on the authority of Scripture? They're going to say yes or no. They might say, well, what do you mean? And then you'd say, well, I mean that before God, you really could have all your sins forgiven, all of them. Now, is it true that the way you say something or the way you ask a question makes a difference? If you say, well, yeah, I've been studying my Bible and yeah, found out I could have all my sins forgiven. Yeah, you know, there's just not much excitement there, you know. But when they see, and again, I mean, just thinking about the study last night at your folks, I mean, I just looking around the table there, I couldn't see your dad. Your dad was sitting behind me, but your mom was sitting over there. And I mean, even she was kind of like, well, this is kind of exciting. She has seen the life of Christ. She did. Yeah. 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 So the excitement, the enthusiasm of Christ in you is a powerful, powerful, it's a real thing. Okay. All right. So now that's how to open it. Okay. Any questions on that or any additional comments or thoughts on that? Okay. Well now, okay. So you did that. You got the permission. You established point one, man's problem and the consequences is lake of fire, death. Okay. You got to the issue that Christ is the solution, God's only solution. There's no other solution. You can't pay. You can't go into church. You can't promise to do it the next time, etc. And you showed them the verses because you have them where, Tyler? In your heart. You got them in you, right? And preferably, if you have a Bible, you can open it up real quick. Okay, so now you've come down to man's response. He's got a choice to make. All right, now, how do we bring this thing to a close? Do we say, okay, well, next Sunday we're going to have a baptismal, so come on into our church? No.
No.
Yeah, there you go. Join it in the Bible study there. Okay, how do you bring this thing to a close? When I say what's your goal, again, don't misunderstand me. I know we say that in context of marketing and sales and so forth. But what's your goal? What is God's goal? There you go. You've gone through the gospel. You know God wants all men to be saved. So what's your goal? Get that person saved. So it's decision point now. Okay, so what should you do now? You're going to ask them to make a decision. You ask them for permission up here. Could I show you how to have all your sins forgiven? Great. Okay, well, here's why you need to have all your sins forgiven. Here's God's solution. Now, would you like to make a choice right now to trust Jesus Christ for your Savior? You're asking them, what's your choice? What are you going to decide? And I told you before, when the guy asked me that question, I told him no. Because I didn't believe point number one. That's why. Oh, he told me point number one. I just didn't believe it. I didn't see my need there for point number two. Yeah, that's exactly what I told the guy. No, I'm the Catholic. I'm in. I'm fine. I'm okay with my priest. I just go once a week and get all my sins forgiven and then whatever. You know, because I didn't believe this point, which is fine. That guy still planted seeds, didn't he?
Yeah.
There, you remember
that. To this day, I remember that guy. Yeah. It's amazing. Isn't that something? So whether or not the guy chooses to trust Christ is not your responsibility.
We don't need to worry about how they react.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. So we ask them, would you like to trust Christ? Rich, go ahead. Right, right. Yes. Yeah. What happens is this, is that they know they're a sinner. And it's probably the first or second time they've ever heard the cross explained clearly like you explained it to them. And now you're asking to make a choice. Their inner man is excited because, wow, this kind of makes sense. But what does their flesh now say? No, this can't be this easy. Or, well, my church says this. So if they respond that way, by the way, how do you know if they're responding that way? It's because their objection. Their objection is telling you where the concern is.
But you need to also tell them, realizing if they don't make that choice, listen, you may not be here tomorrow.
Yes.
So if you don't do this now, if you die tomorrow, we explain where you're going to go.
Yes.
If you're fine with it, that's okay.
And you know what? What's a good way to convey the reality that you might not be here tomorrow? Virginia Tech is a real way to do it. None of those students, except maybe that one kid, the one kid knew that day he was going to take his life, probably. None of those other students knew. They all had, it was a Monday. They probably all had rough weekends. They were thinking, I just got to get to class and get through Monday so I can get back to my bed and sleep. And you know what college students think like, right? None of them planned that on that day, dying that day. But they all did. And so when you convey to that lost person, say, listen, you know, we've talked about something so important is eternal here. Christ died for all your sins. It's the truth. Would you like to trust Christ right now? You can get this issue settled once and for all. No strings attached. I'm not asking for money. Just based upon what you saw in the Scripture, would you like to trust Christ right now? And he's going to say yes or no. Or he's going to give you some objections and so forth. But again, what you're trying to do is you're seeking to bring that person to a decision. Please remember, and this is vital, this is real important, it's not us. It's not me. It's not you. It's not our flesh. It truly is God the Holy Spirit using His Word, bringing that person to conviction. But that person has to believe. So even if that person says, well, no, I'm not interested, you shouldn't be discouraged. Don't be worried about it. Don't feel like you failed at all, because you didn't fail. That person just made a decision. And it might be that if the person says, well, I'm just not interested right now, you know, maybe we can talk later. What did he just tell you? There's an open door. Great. Hey, can I call you next week? Go ahead. Yes, yes. 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 Yeah. That's very good. And that's it right there. It takes the pressure off of who? Off of you. Yeah. I know. We live in a world where we do. We live in a world where you got to close that sale, you know, and everything. That's right. Yeah. Quickly, 1 Timothy chapter 2. We'll pick up here next week. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Timothy 2, 1. He says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. This whole thing about evangelism, it needs to be prepared in what? Look at that verse right there. In prayer. And since we as grace believers, you pray without ceasing, you understand that the whole concept of the instant in season and out of season, you're always ready because you're just always talking to the Lord anyway. Right? Now, it might be your wife that's answering you, but anyway. you know, but really, the whole issue of evangelism, as well as the whole issue of just living the Christian life, it is a life just lived in the conscious awareness of the presence of what a wonderful Savior we have. You know, we're not trying to sell something that's of no value. We're not trying to sell anything anyway. about that. Oh, man. And in love. Yes. And so now look at verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, as we have spent a number of weeks now talking about evangelism and still have a few more to go here, might we all be reminded that this really isn't about us or our tactics or our techniques or anything like that at all. You certainly can and will use our individual personalities and enthusiasm, but genuinely it is your word, the life of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit that is really available in reaching out to the lost. And we, God, want to make ourselves, each and every, we say, Father, before you today, that we want to make ourselves available to you on a regular basis, just in living life, to share the gospel with the lost and to manifest the very life and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ that was clearly demonstrated on the cross of Calvary. So we pray, God, that we would allow your word to convict us with this, with these truths, and to, not under the law, but under grace, to compel us to give of ourselves and our lives to reach out for the lost. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.